There is a place called heaven. It's real. It's more real than what you can see around you.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Is heaven a real place? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Gloria Copeland and her special guest teacher Billy Brim begin their new series, Tapping Into the Power of God. Now, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory, and we have our special guest with us today, Billy Brim.
Praise the Lord.
And she's going to be talking about heaven. So call your friend right now and tell them, Billy's talking about heaven. You don't want to miss this.
You don't want to miss it.
Because she's not going to
hold. Don't want to miss heaven
either. You're not going to hold back, right?
I'm not going to hold back.
You're just going to give it to us.
I decided not to hold back.
Okay. We receive it.
Bless the Lord.
Billy Brim, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks.
I want to start with John chapter 14. This is Jesus. As he was preparing to go, and he was preparing his followers for him to go, and he said to them in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Boy, that's a good verse today.
That is a good verse.
"Let not your heart be troubled." Now, this is an imperative statement, so I'm going to read it like
it really is
in the Greek. "Trust in God, trust in me." That's a command. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, this word, a place, we just say a place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very important. Back from the beginning, when God brought the Jews into the promised land, he said, don't go up to every green tree and offer things to me. I have a place, and it's called the place.
The place.
And in Hebrew, it's ha, H-A-M-A-K-O-M, ha, makom. And so I have a teaching on what it meant for Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, and then what it means for heavenly Jerusalem and the place for us. Dr. Gary Wood, I'm going to read a little bit in his book later, he's been to heaven, and he entitled his book, "A Place Called Heaven." There is a place called heaven. It's real. It's more real than what you can see around you. I remember once we went to a church, and John G. Lake's grandson had brought his grandfather's Bible, and in it he wrote, "Heaven is not far away." So, praise the Lord for the place called heaven. And right now, we are citizens of that place called heaven. We, in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven right now, from whence we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's where we get our orders.
That's where the headquarters is.
That's right.
It's in the heavenly Jerusalem. Also, you could read chapter 12 of Hebrews. That's where we do our business, in the heavenly Mount Zion. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, that word affection in verse 2, over in my center reference, or maybe in one of your newer translations, it will say, "Set your mind on things above." So that's what we're going to do today.
Okay.
We're going to set our mind on things above. We're coming by all reckoning to the end of an age. Not only the end of an age, we're coming to the 6 days, the end of days since Adam. And we're about to move into the seventh day. And Brother Hagin I used to work for Kenneth E. Hagin. And he knew that I was going to go out into the ministry. He ordained me. But he said, don't let your writing ministry go. He said, now, you're going to need to, he said, the people that you know who are very expert in prayer are going to start moving off the scene. And you're to write. If what they know is going to be lost if you don't get it out of them. So he said, get that out of them and then write a book on prayer. In fact, he said, write two books on prayer. Write one on simple prayer. Write another one on secrets of prayer. And then he said, as the two ages meet, he said, it's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything's different. You wake up one morning, everything's different. He said, that age is going to start coming into this age. It's going to start manifesting. People are going to see angels. Angels are going to be very prolific. And he said, people are going to be going to heaven and coming back and bringing a testimony of what they've seen. There will be like near-death experiences, or they actually die, or there will be people like Jesse Duplantis who go there and come back, and they didn't have to die to go there. So he told me, you're going to need to write a book about them. So these people who have been to heaven, it's just like I collect them like teacups, you know. One of my friends said, some people collect teacups. You collect people who have had these experiences. And this is from Dr. Gary Wood. He lives in Houston, Texas. He's the one, I'll just start reading you his story. In 1966, I was a freshman at Wayland Baptist College, home for the Christmas holidays. My sister and I had borrowed our grandfather's car. We were home from visiting friends. We were 1 mile from home. We were singing Silent Night. Suddenly, she screamed. I turned to see what was the matter. There was an explosion, then a sharp, instant pain seared across my face. A brilliant light engulfed me, and then I remember being free from all pain. I slipped out of my body. It was like slipping out of my clothing. I was above the car now. It was as if the top of the car had been removed. I could see my body. I could hear Sue crying. My life passed before my eyes. I had no fear. There was no sorrow or confusion. I truly believed I would never return. I went into a swirling funnel-shaped cloud that grew wider and wider and brighter and brighter. As I began to ascend up through this tunnel of light, I felt such a tranquil feeling of peace wash over me, wave after glorious wave. At the end of this brilliant tunnel was a pathway. He walked down it toward a brighter light. I heard angels all around me singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor." And then he writes many other things. Suddenly in front of me, he comes up to the gate of the city, goes through the paradise, which seems to be an outer garden-like place around. And then an angel, a giant angel, confirmed that he could enter the city. Suddenly in front of me stood my best friend, John. His eyes sparkled with life as we embraced. I later learned that we are assigned a loved one who is already in heaven to acquaint us to this place called heaven. And John was the one assigned to me. So he has in his book many, many things, you know, that he tells. Bless the Lord. He came back. He had to come back because his sister said, "I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go." And in fact, David Ingalls wrote the song, "You'll Have to Go Back, She's Calling That Name." So he had to go back. Jesus told him to go back. And he told him that he was to tell people to get ready for the coming of the Lord. And he said, there are songs for you to sing, a missionary journey to take, a book to write. But there was a purpose for your coming here and a purpose for your going back. And he told him to tell people that he's coming and that there would be three things that would mark his soon return: a spirit of restoration, a spirit of prayer, and an outburst of miracles. And then he was told that the churches are full of people that bear grudges, churches. and have unforgiveness in their hearts. And he said, God is going to start sending people in your pathway, people who have offended you, people you have offended. You're going to have to make a choice, either make amends. Forgiveness is a must if you want to walk in the fullness of God, or you can let bitterness and anger defeat you. Another friend of mine that the Lord has taken to heaven said that the Lord told her, whatever territory you surrender, the Lord will fill it with His glory. So that's what He's told here. If you want the fullness of God, if you want the glory of God in your life, then it's not that you won't go to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. But you won't know the fullness and the glory you could have known down here if you hold on to such things as unforgiveness. He went back in his body, and all of his vocal cords were gone. Everything was gone. And his grandfather came in he woke up, you know, and he was there. They'd had to completely do his face. And his grandfather said, son, you'll never be able to speak again where people can understand you, let alone sing. He said, not sing. I was in college on a music scholarship. And for the next 9 months, that fact loomed like a deathly shadow over me. How could I tell everyone? God told me to tell him that Jesus was coming if I couldn't even talk. And he was there. He began to read the Bible. And he said, I needed a miracle. And while he was recuperating after one of the many surgeries on his face, he heard a song, He Touched Me and Made Me Whole. He had not heard that song yet. This was 1966. He said, Jesus, you can touch me and make me whole. Suddenly, Jesus appeared in my room just as I'd seen him in heaven. My heart started pounding. I was filled with awe at his beautiful presence. And he came personally to deliver my miracle. He put his gentle hand on my throat. I felt a warmth flowing through my body, especially in the area of my vocal cords. He smiled to me and was gone. He didn't come in through the door. He didn't exit through the door. He is the door. The nurse walked in and said, good morning. And I said, good morning, back to her. With a startled look on her face, she said, you can't talk. In a booming, resounding voice, I said, praise God, I've been healed. Wow. She was just scared to death. She dropped the breakfast tray and ran to get the doctors. The doctors came into the room, began examining him. He said, praise God, praise God, praise God. They said, open your mouth. They said, you can't do that. You can't speak. You have no vocal cords. It's medically impossible. He still has none. He still sings and preaches to this day. Wow. He's a miracle. He ran down the hall. Going into people's rooms, he still had a hospital gown on, and he was running in there saying, you want to hear me sing? You want to hear me sing? So thankful to God.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
Praise God.
Now, I'm going to go back to something. He told my daughter, Shelly, when her husband passed away. He said, Shelly, Bob knows what you're doing. There's a place in heaven where they know. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And he'll know, and you go on with your ministry. He'll know. So he tells about that place right here. The hills and mountains were before us. He's coming in. He's still in heaven now. I noticed a host of people on the hillside. They were observing things taking place on earth. When they witnessed a lost soul being told about the saving grace of God, if that person accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, all the people on the hillsides, mountaintops, and in the city broke out in applause and spontaneous praise. The mountains would begin to sing and the trees. And he said, rejoice. Everybody could hear, rejoice, rejoice. A lost sinner is coming home. Isn't it wonderful to know that when you tell someone about Jesus, you have all of heaven cheering you on? Hebrews 12 tells us about this great host of witnesses. I saw a man come to Christ from heaven. He saw it in this place where they can go and see it. I saw a man come to Christ, and these witnesses went and found his mother to tell her that her son had accepted Jesus.
Praise
Brother
God.
Hagin was taken to heaven, and he was told there that they know about the spiritual progress in your life. They don't know about the natural things, whether you get a new bedroom suit or a new refrigerator or a car, but they know about the things that really count, the things that really matter, and of course, your soul's salvation. And I have another friend who went to heaven, Kat
That's
Kerr.
That's a good
testimony.
Isn't that a good mm-hmm. testimony? And she told about that place. I'm going to see here where she wrote about it. The portal.
I'm going to go there.
Yep. I'm going to heaven. Make sure you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
That's
so that you can be born again.
That's how you know.
And there's a place prepared for you. And if you haven't yet accepted Him,
that's right.
Somebody over there in your family may have been praying. Maybe some, all of heaven will know, even if you don't have a soul over there.
That's right.
And the whole of heaven will go into ecstatic party when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So another fantastic trip to heaven, she wrote, was when I was allowed to tour the place called the Portal. This is a place where all of heaven can come to view earth. There were angels as well as the redeemed present. The immensity of the place left me speechless. I could not even see the end walls. When we approached the portal itself, it was magnificent. It seemed that when you walked up to it, you were looking over a balcony. And that's a picture you get in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. The atmosphere was charged with excitement, and at the same time, you were filled with awe. The light inside the structure was somewhat subdued so that your attention was drawn to the portal and your viewing would not be interfered with. As always, the presence of God saturated everything and everyone. It was extremely exciting to be there. I shall never forget the expressions of love, joy, surprise, and victory I saw on the faces of the people. They were allowed to see significant events in their families' lives, especially when they accepted Jesus as their Savior. Many people were leaning forward, whispering and gesturing to those that had accompanied them to view. There would be a normal conversation until someone on earth became a Christian. And then there was wild rejoicing and celebration. Everyone would congratulate the family whose loved one had come to believe in Jesus. It is the most exciting thing that happens at the portal.
Like people here watch the football game.
Yeah, right. They watch you to see. Oh,
they watch
God.
The souls get born again.
And the race.
Their family.
Know, running
their loved
the race
one.
And your spiritual progress
glory
that you make in the race. Another exciting event is when a loved one comes home to heaven. As soon as they realize they're on the way, they race out to the gate to greet them. Bless the Lord.
What exciting.
Hallelujah. And another thing that she talked about was, I guess we're going to have to take 2 days on this. I thought we'd get through.
Well,
they just
be
held
fun.
Up a 5-minute sign. Bless the Lord. She talked about when you go to heaven. She said, there are various ways to be taken to heaven, including chariots. If Jesus comes to escort individuals, they get to go in their own chariot. And then she talked about transports. She said they look like a cable car without a cable, very beautifully, you know, designed. And more than one person can go in them. Often, Abraham will meet you there. Your family and friends will run to greet you. And it's a funny thing, but Jesse Duplantis, in his book, he talked to about those transports that come to heaven. He was in a hotel room, you know, one afternoon. And suddenly he said he was told that he had an appointment with Jehovah God. Suddenly I felt a suction as if I was being pulled up out of the room. But I didn't look back to see myself leaving my physical body. As some people described, I heard a whoosh and I was pulled up. I did not know I'd left that room, and I was zooming along at a phenomenal rate of speed, being carried in something like a cable car. Wow. He describes it exactly the way that Kat describes it. It was a chariot without a horse, but it was not like one of those chariots you see in the movies. It was completely closed in, and I could see through the windows, and another chariot was racing along beside us. Then I looked up, and I saw another being, a blonde-headed angel. You have an appointment with the Lord Jehovah God. I felt the chariot slowing down, and I experienced the shock of my life. I was in heaven.
Praise God.
Bless the Lord.
Wow.
So, now, she said that when you go to heaven, there are different transports that take you. You never go alone. You always are
escorted.
You remember Grandma Martha?
Yes.
She was the lady that she'd been a child of slaves. Mm-hmm. And remember, we met her granddaughter and daughter whom she raised.
Right.
She was a great lady, saint of God. We tell a lot of Grandma Martha's stories. and how she believed God. But they told about when she died. She was very old. And in her going, she had glorious times and got her family all around her. And she told her family, and she'd wait for some of them to come in. Mm-hmm. And she said, now, so-and-so's going to come, so-and-so, get them all here. She said, you know, there's a chariot right up there
right
waiting
up there,
on me.
Just waiting on me.
She said, put my slippers down here. She said, when I'm ready, I'm going to slip my slippers on, and I'm going to just get on that chariot.
Amen.
You know, there's an old spiritual. Swing low, sweet chariot.
That's exactly what they were talking about, too, singing
about.
They
knew about it.
Yeah.
Coming forth to carry me home. Heaven's a real place. There's a real passage to get there. And chariots sometimes come. And sometimes Jesus comes in His chariot. And we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Ooh, glory.
How He came for Oral Roberts.
Hallelujah.
And what it meant to
Amen.
Us.
Isn't that exciting? Praise God. Aren't you glad you didn't miss that? Now, don't miss any of these. Heaven's a real place. Anybody that wants to can go mm-hmm. there. All you do is make Jesus Christ the Lord mm-hmm. of your life. You choose Him. When you choose Him, you've
He's
got a
the
place.
Way.
You've
He's
got
the
a
way.
Place. You've got a place, and there will be a chariot come for you. We'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search, all new at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block. Enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try the new keyword search today at kcm.org.
Hello, I'm Pastor George Pearsons. Join me on the Believer's Voice of Victory with my special guests, Mac and Sandra Gober with Canaanland Ministries. The Lord can take anybody's life, even His, just the way they are, and transform them into something great. Be sure to join us for an encounter with God that'll change your life and the lives of those you love.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts. As time accelerates around the earth, the reality of the kingdom of God is becoming more evident. An outburst of the miraculous is about to happen, and you are going to be a part of it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put together a special package of resources to prepare you for the next awesome move of God. The Signs and Wonders package includes The Signs and Wonders, a book by Maria Woodworth Etter, who some consider to have had one of the most powerful ministries of modern time. You'll learn about the Holy Spirit, the power of faith, and how to receive your miracle. You'll also get the exciting Believer's Voice of Victory series, Signs and Wonders, with Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. These broadcasts will teach you how to determine God's direction and be in the right place at the right time. Finally, you'll receive the landmark book, John G. Lake, His Life, His Sermons, His Boldness of Faith. Get ready to be a part of God's supernatural connection and His glory. Order the Signs and Wonders package, now available for just $29.99. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. The Signs and Wonders package will show you how to get the power of God working in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit kcm.org.
You know, Jesus did all the hard part.
Yes, he did.
He bore our sickness, carried our diseases, bore our sins, and healed us by his stripes. So all we have to do is receive it. But we do have to receive it. And he's prepared this place for us. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that's the very place Billy was talking about.
And he said, I'm the way.
I am the way,
the truth, and the life. I'm the way to that place.
So there's no other way to get there except through Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't pray earlier during the broadcast, you just say right now, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior.
I receive you as my Savior.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something with it.
And do something with it.
I tell you, I didn't know very much when I got born again. I didn't know even about being born again. But I prayed a prayer similar to that. Take my life and do something with it. We have a free salvation package if you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or if you did it earlier than the broadcast, but you just want to know more about what happened to you, we'll be so happy to send you these 5 books free. And they talk to you about the new birth and what happened to you when you were born again, and you'll get a lot out of these. They're absolutely free. So if you want those, and how to study the Bible, you just write in, let us know, call, go to the internet. However you like to do it, we'll get it to you. Hallelujah. We want you to grow. We want you to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, learn the Word of God, and walk in victory. The Scripture says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as you hear the Word, faith comes. Now, that's the only way you get faith. You don't get faith from experience. You get faith from what the Word says. It's a supernatural word from heaven. So don't quit here. You keep going. You keep growing. You find you a church that's on fire for God. I mean, where you go, they preach the Word of God to you, and where you can grow. If you're not growing, keep looking. Glory to God. You can have victory in your life. Billy and I'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a free 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. To request your free salvation package, go to our website at kcm.org or call or write to us today. God has a good plan for your life. Have faith in God and begin to walk in the blessing.